Make your weekend better at the Buna Connection Brewing Company in Buna, New Jersey. Fresh craft beer, great vibes, and a tap room perfect for kicking back. Grab a pint, bring friends, and enjoy the weekend at Buna Connection Brewing Company. Go to www.bunaconnectionbrewing.com. Welcome everyone to Beverage Chronicles. I'm your host, Gary Monteroso. Each week, we bring you the latest beverage news, plus smart consumer tips to help you buy better. Whether you're choosing beer, wine, spirits, or zero-proof options, let's dive into what's new, what's noteworthy, and what's worth bringing home. This is Beverage Chronicles. This past week, I was looking at some figures on how much money we Americans spend on adult beverages. Now, I must tell you that the 2025 figures have not yet been released, so I'm going to be going back 1 year prior to 2024, although I suspect when these new numbers come out, there's not going to be a tremendous change. So I'm going to give you some numbers. In 2024, Americans shelled out $228 billion on alcoholic drinks for personal use, with the average adult dropping about $898 each. Now, you have to remember that there are various factors like culture, social habits, geography, demographics, and economics that play a role in how popular alcohol is in different states. This can significantly affect local communities, influencing everything from their tax revenue, since most alcohol is taxed, to the dangers posted by drunk drivers. Now, keeping this in mind, a company called Smart Asset evaluated the 50 states based on the yearly change in per capita spending on alcohol among adults. And as it turns out, Alaskans lead the pack in annual alcohol spending, with each adult averaging $1,250 for the year, which reflected an increase of a little over 5%. Wyoming followed closely with an average spending of $1,238, and Colorado came in third at $1,216. Now, in four states, alcohol spending actually dipped compared to the previous year. So, although I mentioned Colorado and their spending was relatively high at $1,216, it actually experienced the largest decrease in per capita alcohol spending at over 1%. Indiana at $751, Massachusetts at $1,186, and Utah at $607 also saw minor reductions in their alcohol spending per person. Montana saw the biggest increase in alcohol consumption, with an average adult spending $1,051 in 2024. That was a 4.2% rise from the previous year. Maryland also followed with an increase of, it was quite high, 3.2%, where the average adult spent $826 annually. New Hampshire had the third highest growth at 3%, with adults spending $1,120 each. Now, I certainly don't have time to read you the listing of every other state in the union where they stand, but I'll give you some numbers, especially among those states where we seem to have a very high listenership. And I'll start with New Jersey. You finished number 12 at $1,037. California, $1,001. You were number 14 in the nation. Texas, you were number 17 at $972 per person. Michigan was at number 31 at $805. New York State was 33 at $804. Pennsylvania was number 39 at $780. And Tennessee was number 46 at $693. And again, number 47 through 50 were Oklahoma, number 48 Mississippi, 49 West Virginia, and number 50 Utah. All right, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to Beverage Chronicles. I'm Dan Carter. Like most two-ingredient drinks, the Whiskey Mac succeeds because its components complement one another. Blended scotch forms the base, contributing gentle smoke and warmth without overpowering the drink. Its softer profile makes it well-suited to mixing, providing structure while leaving room for another flavor to shine. The supporting role belongs to green ginger wine. Traditionally made in England, most famously by Stones, it's a fortified wine made from fermented fruit and ginger that's then mixed with brandy. The result is a drink with a round, fruity sweetness and a pop of ginger spice. When combined, the two ingredients settle into a straightforward balance. The whiskey stays dry and spirit forward, while the ginger wine adds softness, spice, and a fuller mouthfeel. At a 2-to-1 ratio, the drink finishes gently with the ginger smoothing the edges of the scotch rather than overpowering it. You'll need 2 ounces of blended scotch whiskey and 1 ounce of green ginger wine. Pour the whiskey and ginger wine in a rocks glass over ice. Then stir to chill and combine the ingredients. This is one of my favorite cocktails. I hope you also enjoy it. For Beverage Chronicles, this is Dan Carter.
Wine is food. It's a liquid part of the evening meal, and when drinking it in moderation, wine enhances the flavors of food, relaxes you, and the populations around the world who follow this tradition tend to have the longest, healthiest lifespans. Well, this is John Mahoney from New Jersey Wine Radio for the Beverage Chronicles, discussing a way to spice up your life during the shortest days of the year. All wine lovers know the 7 most famous grapes that make the vast majority of the world's wines. Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and Riesling are the white grapes. Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Pinot Noir, and Syrah are the reds. So how do you expand your interest in wine and food? How do you add some variety to a stagnant culinary routine? How do you excite your guests at a dinner party? The answer is to take an adventurous tour seeking out some of the world's least known wine grapes. The wine I use for soups, salads, and fish is the Greek white wine, Arsitiko. It's usually from the Greek island of Santorini. It's well-balanced, has mineral notes, and is perfect with all white meats. It's high in clean natural acids, refresh the palate with each new sip. A great red food wine is Blaufränkisch. It's from Austria, and it's now planted in all around the world, including the U.S. It has rich plum and spice notes and can be savored in its youth. This red wine will marry with red pasta dishes and all red meats, from a simple hamburger to a select filet mignon. A final red grape is Saffarotti, maybe the oldest wine grape in the world. It comes from the Republic of Georgia on the eastern shores of the Black Sea. It's usually fermented in clay tanks instead of wood or steel, and can be enjoyed both young or aged. Saffarotti is now produced in the New York Finger Lakes region, and well as many other states. I still enjoy the Georgian samples whenever I can find them. Well, this is John Mahoney explaining that any of these 3 grapes, Arsitiko, Blaufränkisch, or Saffarotti, will complement your meal while creating a topic for great discussions around your dinner table. In vino veritas.
Thank you, gentlemen, for those reports. Really appreciate it. He makes index funds seem appealing. He appears stylish while donning a virtual reality headset. Chatbox seek his counsel. He's known as the most interesting man in the world, and he has returned to promote beer after a decade-long hiatus. Do you remember those commercials, the most interesting man in the world? In an effort to enhance declining sales, the Mexican lager producer Dos Equis just officially announced that it's bringing back its legendary advertising campaign with a commercial. Additionally, store displays and social media initiatives are being developed. The person of interest is the original actor Jonathan Goldsmith, now 87, and he is going to be returning to his role. But this time, things will appear somewhat different. The company aims to capitalize on some of the viral appeal that initially turned Goldsmith into a meme through store displays, live events, and his own LinkedIn profile. According to Dos Equis' parent company, which is Heineken USA, Dos Equis' brand size tripled during the original ad campaign's decade-long duration. 83% of individuals who viewed the previous advertisements expressed a desire for their return, based on the company's research. However, consumers have not been particularly eager, my friends. It's been a challenging year for the beer sector, attributed to rising prices, weight loss medications, and shifting preferences. Sales at Dos Equis were particularly low, with an 8% decline in the U.S. in 2025. Now, I must mention on a personal note, several years ago, probably about, about 13 or 14 years ago, I was doing some local radio and television in southern New Jersey, and I did have the opportunity to interview Jonathan Goldsmith. And we talked quite a bit about the campaign, about his career in acting. He appeared in a number of television shows in the 60s and 70s. I remember the show Gunsmoke. He did several roles on there. And Jonathan, I found to be a very affable, very friendly guy, and certainly was enjoying the fame, the notoriety, and also the income that he derived from the Dos Equis commercials. So it's going to be interesting to see him return into that role. And I wonder if that's going to spike Dos Equis sales. I guess we'll all find out. Beer is a fascinating, quirky, and endlessly surprising realm. And the winter seasonals are no different. And that leads us to the winter warmer. An age-old style with British origins and a fondness for spices. Now, when we say winter warmer, it's really a broad term that brewers use to describe a variety of cold weather seasonals. While summer is characterized by crisp lagers and easy drinking options, winter changes the game with malt-forward beers designed to feel like a warm sweater in a glass. Historically, two styles formed the foundation of what we now refer to as winter warmers. There's the spiced type ale and a strong English ale. The main distinction is the way they deliver flavor. Now, the spice ales may include nutmeg, allspice, clove, and that entire cozy kitchen atmosphere, while strong ales generally rely on hops for their kick. Naturally, brewers enjoy mixing things up, so any so-called rules here should be taken with a pinch of, let's say, cinnamon. Attempting to trace an origin story for these beers is really a futile endeavor. They've existed in various forms for centuries. Nowadays, you'll find them labeled as Christmas ales, winter ales, or simply another seasonal offering. Some are barrel-aged. Many are sweetened with ingredients like molasses, maple syrup, raisins or plums, and nearly all are brewed with the season in mind. Winter warmers often shine on their own as a seasonal delight, but they also pair wonderfully with traditional dishes such as roasted turkey, glazed ham, prime rib, or your selection of spiced pies. The alcohol content typically ranges between 6% and 8.5%, and they usually come out as early as October and can linger, till the end of January, maybe early February, just long enough to help us navigate the holiday frenzy before we return to our usual routines. Now, I'm going to tell you about a few that I particularly enjoy and you may want to check out. And don't let the name of this one fool you. It's Great Lakes Christmas Ale. Now, this is a 7.5% spiced beer made by the employee-owned Great Lakes Brewing Company in Cleveland, Ohio. It deftly balances honey, cinnamon, and ginger flavors with a robust malt body. And that's it for this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. Gary Monteroso saying see you next week.